Running out of time, that's the word. 10 days are all that's left, in fact, say the worried diplomats trying to forge a meaningful climate change agreement in time for the Paris conference later this year. That's not the deadline for some massive glacial melt that will flood Paris or something. Given the complexity of environmental agreements, 10 days are all that's left to work on the main provisions in human time so that individual governments can translate them all into the actual language of a global agreement. The hard dealing takes place right now to prepare for world leaders convening in Paris in December. In an interview with the Associated Press, UN Climate Chief Cristiana Figueres said this conference may be the last chance to address this issue and save the planet. Speaking to the AP, she said, quote, "We do not play with this anymore. We are at 5 minutes to midnight, and Paris is the 12 o'clock strike." We turn now to someone familiar with the pace of diplomatic time, geologic time, and the urgency of climate effects already being seen from global warming. Carol Browner, senior counselor at the Albright Stonebridge Group, a strategy and business advisory firm. She's former advisor for energy and climate change for the Obama administration and EPA administrator under President Bill Clinton.
The goal of this conference in December in Paris will be for each country to bring what is called an intended nationally determined contribution. In other words, what are their plans for how they will reduce their greenhouse gas pollution? And countries are already putting those on the table. So a lot of negotiations around what those are, what other countries will be doing, and then ultimately how those commitments will be verified, the transparency in terms of reporting and monitoring. So lots going on.
And so does each country deliver its verification plan, its target for meeting various kinds of climate change emission standards, that sort of thing, and then it's added up in Paris, and if it meets the global target, then we either look at it again, or are all those things taking place right now that it has to add up before, long before we get to Paris?
Well, the hope is it will add up before we get to Paris, because countries are going ahead and announcing their plans. In fact, President Obama just announced another piece of his plan last week requiring power plants that burn fossil fuels to reduce their carbon pollution. Each of the 50 states will be writing a plan. Brazil has announced commitments. China has announced commitments. So I think the hope is that it does add up. There's a big difference this year. These conferences happen every year. And the difference this year is rather than sort of a top-down plan being imposed, sort of a one-size-fits-all for the world, individual countries are looking at what's best in their history, what's best in terms of their type of pollution, in terms of their economic growth. And so we're going to see lots of different tools being used. But you're exactly right. The hope is that they add up and that we are able to achieve what the scientists tell us, which is significant reductions.
So the stumbling blocks in Paris may be a question among the big emitters of whether the individual plans are enough or reflect a fairness. There was always the conflict between China and the United States regarding its attempt to build into an industrial nation and not be constrained by environmental plans that the U.S. wasn't constrained by during the 1800s. I'm wondering if that's going to be the same kind of stumbling block this time. And what about the nations that have to worry about global warming and ocean level rise immediately? What can they expect from the international community? Is that going to be part of this deal?
Yes, I think that the big points of contention in Paris will be, first of all, what are the nature of these individual country plans? And are they enforceable? Can a country really ensure the actions will be taken? Is it transparent? Can you measure the progress? Is there monitoring? Is there reporting? So all of that will be important, because you can make a plan, but if you don't implement a plan, it won't mean anything. Then the second issue to your point is, what are we going to do for those parts of the world where resources are an issue? Is there going to be some sort of financing available? Will there be some opportunities, not only for governments? Obviously, there's an obligation for governments to step forward, and particularly for the developed world to step forward, but also for businesses, perhaps, to come forward and to participate in plans in developing countries that reduce emissions. And so I think a lot of the focus in Paris will be on that financing and will be on sort of the transparency verification of the individual country plans.
Carol Browner, you had a a mixed experience at the Environmental Protection Agency under Bill Clinton. It's a frustrating place to be. You're really under the gun at the EPA. But I'm wondering how you would assess the belief that the EPA is going to have to get a lot stronger as an agency, much, much stronger, if the Obama administration's plans are going to be realized.
Well, I think it's important to remember, whether it's, you know, under Bill Clinton or President Obama, the EPA is not free to do whatever it wants. Even if the science dictates something, EPA has to follow the law. And so you saw under President Obama last week, he used the existing Clean Air Act passed by Congress in 1990 to require very significant reductions in carbon pollution on a state-by-state basis. And I think that what the important test of any EPA is, are they taking the laws on the books and using them to maximum extent so that we can achieve, you know, less carbon pollution, cleaner air and cleaner water. And I think that I'm proud of my record at EPA. And I think that President Obama has a really good record unfolding.
Carol Browner, senior counselor at the Albright Stonebridge Group, a strategy and business advisory firm, former advisor for energy and climate change for President Obama, and EPA administrator under Bill Clinton. Thanks so much.
Thank you.